Morning. Today's daf from Pesachim Kuf Chaf Aleph. We are at the two dots on Kuf Chaf Amud Beis. We are starting this morning at Pesach Chatzos Metamase Adayim. One of the last Mishnayos of our Perek and of our Masechta. We discussed yesterday a couple of points. Sleeping while engaged in eating Karm Pesach, and question of whether or not it creates a hefsek. And The Mishnah introduced us to a chumra yesterday that if you fall asleep, if everyone at the table falls asleep, so then it's when everyone wakes up, it's as though we're eating in Shnei Mekamos, we're eating in two different locations, which is prohibited with the Karm Pesach, and so therefore the Chachamim prohibited the continuation of eating the Karm Pesach. The second halacha of the Mishnah is that there comes a point in time when the Karm Pesach is no longer edible, and that's Acher Chatzos. The Mishnah says Lo Yochla Pesach Chatzos. Acher Chatzos Mitamasi Adayim. Apikov Anoser Mitamasi Adayim. So the Karm Pesach after Chatzos is Mitamasi Adayim, which means to say that it's Noser after midnight, and that's true regarding any pickle and any Noser, which is Mitamasi Adayim. It creates pickle and Noser. Now that means to say as follows. We've gone through this before, and let's try to make this as clear as possible. When it comes to disqualifications of a carbon like pigol, like nosar, so the halach is that there's no tumma. Tumma exists if something comes into contact with a source of tumma. Just because a carbon experiences a disqualification does not render a tumma. Yet, what the chachamim did is that the chachamim slapped a tumma derabanan on these kinds of disqualifications. Why did they do that? So stay tuned. We're gonna explain. We already explained earlier in the Masechta. And we're going to explain a little bit later on this morning as well, as part of the last daf here of the Masechta. In the meantime, however, the Gemara is going to pick up on the fact that when does the Karm Pesach become Nosar? And the answer is Chatzos, and that's unusual. Karm Pesach becomes disqualified already at Chatzos Laila, midnight. You only have half a night to eat the Karm Pesach. So as the Gemara is about to introduce us to you, according to one Tana, that's correct. You only have until midnight. So the Gemara picks up right there, and this is where we're picking it up. So after midnight, now the Karm Pesach is now Nosar. Man Tana, so who is the author of this position? So I'm Rav Yosef Rav Lazar ben Azariah. So it's none other than the Shita Rav Lazar ben Azariah, the Tanya we learned in the Braisa of Achlu. So over here, Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah opens up to Igzera Shav. It says, Balaila Hazeh over here, V'nemar Lalam, V'avarti Beretz Mitzrayim, Balaila Hazeh. And it says regarding Makas Bechoros, Balaila Hazeh, Malahalan Ad Chatzos, Afkan Ad Chatzos. So we have Makas Bechoros occurring Ad Chatzos, Bechatzos Laila, right? So we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu descends on the night of the 15th at midnight. So too over here, it's going to be Chatzos Laila as well. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, so fine. So this is all the Shita of Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, and he has what's called a Gzeira Shava, that brings us to the conclusion that Chatzos Laila is going to be the last time you can eat Karm Pesach. So Amar lo Rabbi Akiva, so Rabbi Akiva now responds to Rebbe Elazar ben Azariah, Matam alam Rebbe Laila, Im Kain, sorry. V'halon ne'amar chipazon. So, the Torah says that we're going to be eating it b'chipazon in haste. Achas chipazon. Which means to say that it's up until the time where we're leaving. And we don't leave Mitzrayim until the morning. So presumably you have the morning to eat Karm Pesach. So im ki ma tamalam rabba layla, yachul yei necha kakachim bayom. So tamalam rabba layla, balaylo necha veino necha bayom. So, and Rabbi Kiva says to Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Now it does say balayla, but not for the purpose of the Gzeira Shava. Look, I might have thought you could have had a very legitimate havamina, that you're going to be able to eat the Karm Pesach for a night and for the day. Look, the Karm Pesach is a Karm Shlamim. And for a Karm Shlamim, we know that you're given, you're afforded, a lot of time to eat the Karm Shlamim, day, night, day. So over here, one could have entertained the idea that you should be able to eat it the following day, as well as the night. So the Balaila comes to teach me that you only eat the Karm Pesach at night, not during the day. That's Rabbi Kiva's understanding. So according to Rabbi Kiva, you have the entirety of the night, and the fact that the Torah says the word night is just there to exclude day. Rabbi Kiva, hi, hazeh my avilei. Okay, but according to Rabbi Kiva, what do we do with the word hazeh? Because remember, Rav Elazar ben Azariah said we had the gzeira shava. And it didn't just say balayla, it said balayla hazeh. as does it say regarding Makas Bechors, Vavarti Beretz Mitzrayim, Balayla Hazeh. So it does sound like we do have a Gzeirah Sheva. Now, this part, of course, is a little bit strange because, as we all know, we've said it repeatedly. You either have the Gzeirah Sheva or you don't have the Gzeirah Sheva. And so the discussion really should just simply revolve around, do you have the Masorah for the Gzeirah Sheva? Do you not have the Masorah for the Gzeirah Sheva? And so admittedly, this part of the discussion is a little bit tricky as we are now trying to redirect what we're going to do with the word Hazeh. Okay. So, Mibayle Lamute Laila Acher Huda Asa. So the Gemara says, Alayla Hazeh, according to Rabbi Kiva, it just tells me that I only have this night to eat it. I don't have another night to eat it. Another night to eat it? What are we possibly thinking as a possible another night that we're going to be eating the Karban Pesach? The Gemara goes on to explain. Because again, here's how we would have categorized the Karban Pesach. And it's not only how we would have categorized it, this is how we should be categorizing it. It really falls under the category of Kachim Kalim, as does a Karban Shlamim. Your biggest differences between Kachi Kachi and Kachim Kalim is location and time in which you can eat it. Kachi Kachim is shechted only on the northern part of the Azara and its consumption is limited if it's consumed at all, meaning a Karban Olah is not consumed at all, but a Chatzas and an Asham, so they're going to be consumed only in the Azara. As opposed to Kachi Kachim, you could shecht it anywhere in the Azara and you could eat it anywhere in Yerushalayim. Those are your basic differences between a Kachi Kachim and Kachi Kalim. We know that Karban Pesach falls under the category of Kachim Kalim. So Mashlamin Nechalim L'Shel Yamim V'Layla Echad. So look, here's what I know, that when it comes to the standard Shlamim, which falls under the category of Kachi Kalim, the lighter Kachim. So we know that a standard Shlamim, you have the day you shecht it, the following night, the following day. So you have day, night, day in terms of the ability to eat your standard Shlamim. So Av Pesach, Ukim Leilos B'Makom Yamim V'Yei Nechal Shnei Leilos V'Yam Echad. So the Gemara here generates a really interesting Havamina. Here's what I might have thought. I might have thought that, look, we have day, night, day as it relates to the standard Shlamim. So maybe by the Karban Pesach, it should be night, day, night. Again, it's a curious Havamina because you already shechted it during the day. Now, you didn't have an allowance to eat it during the day, right? You have to wait until night to eat the Karban Pesach, but what we're at least entertaining is the idea that since the night now becomes the first time that you're allowed to eat it, and since a standard shlamim follows day, night, day, meaning you have three periods of time in which you're allowed to eat it, so maybe over here, you'll have three periods of time in which you're allowed to eat your Karban Pesach, which would result in night, day, night, and that would mean that you'd be able to eat the Karban Pesach now for two consecutive nights. That's all the Havamina. So, Kasa Rechmana Hazeh. That's why the Torah says, Halayla Hazeh, only this night. And that now goes ahead and rejects that Havamina. That is all according to Rabbi Akiva. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, I'm Lacham, Elo Sosir, Ad Boker, Nafka. Now, Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, look, the Havamina, I'm fine with your Havamina. But I already know that the Havamina is rejected. Why is the Havamina rejected? Not because of Alayla Hazeh, but because the Torah says, Lo Sosir Mimenu Ad Boker. You're not allowed to leave any of the Karban Pesach over until the morning. So that already tells me that by the morning, we're done already. You can't have Karban Pesach. What are we doing up with Alayla Hazeh? Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah says, Ah, Gzeirah Sheva. So, Nafka. Now Rabbi Kiva will tell me, look, you're right. The Torah says that lo susur mimenu ad boker. But again, within my havamina, here's what I would have thought. You have the night followed by the day, followed by the night. The Torah says in the morning, it's going to become no sir. Yeah, it's going to become no sir. That's going to be the second morning. It's going to become no sir. That's part of my havamina. So my boker boker sheni, Rebbe Lazar, am lecha kol hecha dekasa boker boker rishonu. So Rebbe Lazar says nothing doing. When the Torah says boker, we know boker means the first morning. There's no room to entertain the idea that boker could possibly mean the second morning. Okay, Ad Kan, that takes us now to the end of what is a classic machlokus between Rebbe Lazar and Rebbe Akiva in terms of when is going to be the limits of eating the Karban Pesach. Rebbe Lazar ben Azariah says you have till midnight. Rabbi Akiva says you have the duration of the evening to eat Karban Pesach. So we have over here a really basic machlokus, a machlokus which, as so far presented in the Gemara, has no practical ramifications because, unfortunately, we don't have Karban Pesach. But the Gemara now is going to make it practical in the next number of lines. Amarava, so Rava says as follows, Achal matzah bezmanazach chatzos. So let's say you eat matzah nowadays after chatzos, Rava Lozab and Azariah, lo yatsa yidei chavaso. You have not fulfilled your obligation. So that means to say now that Rava says, look, the matzah that we eat nowadays, so that matzah is zecher to the matzah that was eaten in the time of the Beis HaMikdash. And so that means to say that the matzah we eat, and this really aligns well with the shita of the Rashbam that we saw in yesterday's daf, that it's a matzah safi komen, which really is the ikur matzah, that's the ikur mitzvah, right? That was the Rashbam's position yesterday. Tosos also in yesterday's daf. True, the matter is, right, we're still on Kuf Chaf, but Tosos also subscribes to that. You can see Tosos divra maschal ba'achrona in b'rishon alo, from yesterday's daf, where Tosfos also says that as well. So the matzah's mitzvah, vafi komen, is really the ikar matzah. And if we subscribe to the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so that means to say that the Karban Pesach is not eaten after chatzos, the matzah is eaten in conjunction with the Karban Pesach. Therefore, the matzah even nowadays cannot be eaten after chatzos as well. And if you eat matzah after chatzos, lo yasal yideh chavaso. Now, the Gemara over here is simply saying as follows. Just make sure we hear this carefully. That if I subscribe to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, the matzah cannot be eaten after chatzos. The Gemara is not saying that we definitively paskin like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. It just simply says that once you subscribe to that viewpoint, so then even the matzah bezman is that cannot be eaten after chatzos. So the Gemara over says, Pshita, take kevin deitkish lepesach kepesach dami. So the Gemara says, well, I'm not even sure what Rav is saying as being such a big deal. Meaning, isn't that obvious? The Gemara says, no, it's not obvious. Ma'ot tema ha'afke kra mehekesha. No, not necessarily, because look, as we already pointed out, matzah nowadays is an independent mitzvah, meaning that no, we no longer have Karban Pesach. Remember, we just had this discussion yesterday's daf. That means what? That matzah nowadays is not a din d'oraisa, because the Torah says when eating the Karban Pesach, al matzosu marim yochlu. You eat it together with matzah, you eat it together with marim. So we established yesterday that marim bizman is as a din d'rabbanan, because again, we no longer have Karban Pesach. So matzah nowadays should also be a din d'rabbanan. And not only is that a good thought, that's an opinion. Rav Acher bar Yaakov of yesterday's daf said that matzah nowadays is not a din d'rabbanan. And yet we're of the opinion that matzah nowadays is a din d'oraisa, and that's based on the shita of Rava. Why? Because we have a separate pasuk as it relates to matzah, be'erev tochlu matzos. So the Gemara says, look, without Rava telling me the statement regarding eating matzah after chatzos here, I could have made a very simple argument. And that is, nowadays, matzah becomes perfectly independent of Karban Pesach. Meaning, even if I subscribe to Shitas Rav Elazar ben Azariah, I'm not allowed to eat the Karban Pesach after chatzos, but maybe matzah now is totally unrelated. Because the obligation to eat matzah is nowadays generated from the pasuk of Be'erev Tochlu Matzos. That, the Gemara says, is the havamina we would have had. So Kamash Malan, Dechia Hadre, Kol Lemilsa Kamaisa Hadre. So what the Torah is doing by introducing us to the obligation to eat matzah is that eating matzah in the context that we used to eat matzah. Meaning the obligation to eat matzah nowadays is not a new independent obligation. It's that same obligation that we had back then. It's just that the Torah is being mechanish, that there's still a mitzvah to eat matzah, despite the fact that it exists independent of the Karban Pesach. So it, even though it's independent of the Karban Pesach, contextually, it still is the same obligation that we had when there was a Karban Pesach. I know that part is a little bit complicated, but the Gemara says, that's the purpose of Rav. Rav is coming to teach me that the obligation of matzah nowadays does not create a new obligation. It just resets what we have, the original obligation. It just teaches us that there is an obligation, even though there actually is no Karban Pesach. Good. So where the Gemara leaves us off right now is that, can I eat matzah after chatzos at the Seder night? Right? Simple question. And the answer is unsure, unclear, right? It's definitely not a satisfying answer, but it's really unsure, because we now know, right, after having finished off yesterday's daf, we now know that the eating of the Karban Pesach, whether it can be eaten after chatzos, is subject to a machlokas tanaim, Rav Elazar ben Azariah says it cannot be eaten after Chatzos. Rabbi Kiva says that it can. The Gemara does not pass in the halacha. Rav says that matzah bezman hazeh is going to be tied to whether or not the Karm Pesach can be eaten after Chatzos. Meaning, if I subscribe to Shitas Rabbi Kiva, so then you can eat the Karm Pesach until the morning. You can eat the matzah until the morning. If, on the other hand, we subscribe to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so then you can only eat Karm Pesach until midnight. You can only eat matzah bezman hazeh up until midnight. Okay, so the Gemara does not take a clear position in terms of which is the accepted halacha, and the Shulchan Aruch writes that we should be cautious and we should try to finish the Afikoman by Chatzos in order to satisfy the Shita of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. It's true that generally speaking, when you have a machlokes between Rabbi Kiva and Chavero and a colleague, so we do paskin like Rabbi Akiva. That part's true. And that would seem to indicate that we should be paskening, that you have until the morning, but the Gemara itself is not poshe. The Gemara itself does not declare what the halacha is. I'll also add that we have a stam mishnah, meaning our mishnah, of what's really yesterday's daf. But the mishnah, it says, bestam, that at chatzos, the karm pesach is metamis yadayim, like the sheet of Rav Elazar ben Azariah. So it's not that simple to just simply say the halacha falls like Rabbi Akiva. Anyway, the Rush writes really clearly over here that it's not poshed. It's not, the Gemara did not come to a resolution on this particular issue. Okay, continuing in the Gemara. Now this is good chazara. We did this, Gemara already about a month ago in the daf, and we get to review. Hapigov anosim etamas yadayim. We are two lines from the bottom of Kuf Chof Amud Aleph. Rav Huna Rav Chisda Chadamar Mishum Chashe Kuna Rav Amar Mishum Atzle Kuhuna Chadamar Kazayis VeChadamar Kebeitza Chatani Apigo VeChatani Anosar. Okay, so basically, why did the Chachamim slap a Tuma de Rabbanon on the pigol and on the nosar? And the answer is as follows, right? It's presented to us by Rav Huna and Rav Chisda. And the answer is basically twofold. One, because of the Kohanim that we suspect, and the other one because of the Kohanim that are lazy. Now, I know that's a strange way to describe Kohanim when the Gemara consistently throughout Shas says that the Kohanim are Zrizim. Okay, but I guess, you know, Yesh V'yesh. In other words, most Kohanim are Zariz, and then some Kohanim are lazy. So, for the Kohanim that are Chashudim that we suspect, meaning that Kohanim just are a little bit spiteful, a little bit vengeful. So for them, so they I know it sounds strange and it's funny, but they want to create pigol. Meaning that a person comes into the base of Mikdash, he has a history with that person, he doesn't like the person, whatever the case is, you know what I'm going to do to his carpet, I'm going to make it pigol. Okay. Time and again, I always struggle in terms of understanding of the motivation of a Kohen to want to make somebody else's carpet pigol. But, okay, it's out there. We're all human beings. And so such is life. So the Kohen wants to make pigol. If the Chachamim say to the Kohen, hey, look, you know what? You're going to render this animal pigol by having a machshava of chutzos manu as you're shechting or doing any one of the dalat avodas. You're going to make this pigol. The carbon now is not only going to be disqualified, it's also going to give off tuma. And once you say that to the Kohanim, so again, their viewpoint, their worldview of tuma is that they want to stay as far away from tuma as possible. Now, of course, tuma generates yisurim, meaning you can't go into the base of Mikdash and you can't eat carbon while in the state of tuma. But they viewed it as much something much more significant than that, right? It was an impurity. They wanted to stay far away from it. And so once the Chachamim placed a Tumah Derabanan on the pigol, so that will further disincentivize the Kohanim from creating pigol. And that's for the Chashdei Kohuna. Now, what about the Atzle Kohuna, the lazy Kohanim? So for the lazy Kohanim, they shechted the carbon. Now it needs to be eaten. Let's say, for example, carbon Chatas or carbon Asham. And if it's not eaten within the requisite time for a chatzos and asham, your time of eating it is significantly curtailed. Not like earlier this morning we talked about day. Over here by a chatzos or an asham, you have the day, then the following night, and that's it. By morning it becomes nosar. So what the Chachamim wanted to do was once again motivate, incentivize the Kohanim. Let's go. Let's finish it up. Let's eat all the carbon. And if you leave over nosar, so number one, that's an isser. That doesn't do it for you, the Kohanim. Number two, now it's going to become Tameh. Tumah Derabanan slapped onto the Nosar. Okay. And the Gemara really succinctly just says everything I just said. So, Mandit Nia Pegol Mishum Chashe Kuhuna, Mandit Nia Nosar Mishum Atzle Kuhuna. Good. So the Gemara just lined it up the way we just lined it up. Now, Chanamar Kazayis v'Chanamar Kebetza. How much of the disqualified carbon do you need in order for it to become tame? One says Kebetza, the other says Kazayis. Now, Manda Amar Kazayis ki Isuro Manda Amar Kebetza Kitum Aso. And so the Gemara says, now, in terms of how it lines up, basically, when the Chachamim slapped a Tumah Derabanan, so were they following the Isser, or were they following the Tumah? Meaning the shear for Isser is Kazayis, the shear for Tumah is a Kebetza, and basically over here, even though obviously the Chachamim slapped Tumah on it, but what did they slap Tumah on? Onto something which is Isser, on Pigel or Nosar. So it's really, it's a great question, which the Gemara is currently asking. Meaning now that the Chachamim are legislating, what are they viewing it more as? They're viewing it more as Isser, and so therefore the Shear is going to follow an Isser Shear, which is a Kazayis. So they're viewing this more in the category of Tumah. And so therefore they're going to be slapping on it the Tumah, only when you get to the Shear Tumah for food is going to be Kebetza. Okay. Adkan, that takes us to the end of our first discussion of today and the conclusion of the Masechta. The conclusion of the Masechta now is going to be talking about Bracha. Okay, you, when you eat the Karban Pesach, so you're fulfilling a mitzvah of the Torah. And so you're going to be making a Bracha. Birchos a Pesach. So you make a Bracha on the Karban Pesach. Pater eshel Zevach. So you don't have to make an additional Bracha on the Zevach, on the Karban. What Karban exists outside the Karban Pesach? So hopefully at this point in the Masechta, we all know the answer. The answer is a Chagigas Yedalad that comes on the 14th to help us supplement the consumption of the Karban Pesach. And the Mishnah is telling us that you make one bracha, you're making the bracha on the Iker Karban that evening. The Chagigas Yedalad, that's just simply supplemental. But the main carbon, of course, of the evening is the carbon of the Karban Pesach. So therefore, you make the bracha on the Karban Pesach, so you're poter eshel zevach. So that's going to now cover you on the bracha of the Chagigas Yedalet. However, says the Mishnah, birch eshel zevach lapatos eshel Pesach. You make a bracha on the Chagigas Yedalet, it's not going to excuse the bracha on the Karban Pesach. You're still going to have to make a bracha on the Karban Pesach. Div Rabbi Shmuel, this is Shitas Rabbi Shmuel, and Rabbi Akiva Omer, lo zu poter zu. And Rabbi Akiva says no. In other words, each one of them is going to require their own bracha. So first of all, nusach ha-bracha, what bracha are we making? So the Mishnah assumes that of course we know which bracha we're making. Okay, we unfortunately have not made a bracha on a karban now close to 2,000 years. We don't know what bracha we're making. So if you take a look at the Rashbam over here, not perfectly clear what the bracha is going to look like, but the Rashbam has a source. Birchas ha-Pesach, birchas ha-Zevach, mefarach b'tosefta, ezu birchas ha-Pesach, birchat ha-Shem lokinim ha-Cholam, asher k'dishanu b'mesosav v'tzivan alechul ha-Pesach. Okay, good. So that's the bracha that we're going to be making over the Karban Pesach. In fact, if you take a look at Rashi, Rashi's nusach is a little bit different. It's al achilas psachim. Okay, so like I said, it's been a while since we made a bracha, so the nusach of the bracha is not perfectly clear, but we have a good idea of what it's going to be. And ezu birchas ha-zevach, just looking at the Rashbam, continuing in the Rashbam. So birchas ha-shem al-kedim ha-cholam, asher k'dishanu b'mesosav v'tzivan alechol ha-zevach. The Chagigas Yedalet is generic in nature, so you just simply say Lechol HaZevach. So, and he goes on to explain that, of course, that it's the Chagigas Yedalet. So, what do we have over here? Machlokas between Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yishmael of our Mishnah as to whether or not the bracha that you make on the Karban Pesach is going to give you coverage for the Chagigas Yedalet. Rabbi Yishmael says it will, and Rabbi Akiva says it will not. Just as an interesting aside for the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel, the Gemara is going to explain a little bit better, but just as an interesting aside for Rabbi Shmuel, so when are you making the bracha? In other words, the bracha of the Karban Pesach is covering the Chagigas Yedalet. Which of the two are eaten first? So we know the answer. We've gone through this before. The Chagigas Yedalet is eaten first because the Chagigas Yedalet is to get us to the point where we are mostly full, so that finally when we eat the Karban Pesach is eaten al hasova. It's eaten while we are already mostly full, so we're eating in a royal manner. So that means, according to Rabbi Yishmael, that you're going to be making the bracha, just follow the logic over here, you're making the bracha on the Karban Pesach, presumably before you're eating the Chagigas Yedalin. Because according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Karm Pesach is covering the Chagigas Yedalin. It'd be a little bit strange to suggest, it's not impossible, but it'd be a little bit strange to suggest that you eat the Chagigas Yedalin, you make no bracha on that whatsoever, then you eat the Karm Pesach, which is the last consumption of the evening, you're making a bracha on that, and that's going to cover the Chagigas Yedalin, which you already ate already? That's one possibility. The other possibility is that you are going to be making the bracha on the Karm Pesach before the Chagigas Yedalin, and that'll cover both the Chagigas Yedalin and the Karm Pesach. But again, that's also a little bit strange because the Iker bracha is going on the Karm Pesach, which is not going to be eaten until afterwards. And you kind of lose the overall asiyasan. All right, so it's a dilemma. The Gemara doesn't deal with it, but it's certainly a worthwhile endeavor to try to figure that out, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Now, Kishatim Salomar, we start with the Gemara over here in Kuf Chafal of Amad Aleph. Kishatim Salomar, Ledivir Rabbi Shmuel, Zrika Bechlal Shvicha, Velo Shvicha Bechlal Zrika, and Ledivir Rabbi Kiva, Lo Shvicha Bechlal Zrika, Velo Zrika Bechlal Shvicha. So, let's start with Rabbi Kiva because it's just easier. It means to say that according to Rabbi Kiva, the Karm Pesach, so how do you do the blood application, right? By every carbon, the most important, the most critical part of the avoda of a carbon is going to be the zrikas adam, the sprinkling of the blood. Now, exactly how it's sprinkled onto the mizbeach, so it's detail oriented, meaning in terms of how many corners of the mizbeach we got to hit with the blood, and whether or not the blood is going to be applied, whether it's going to be poured or whether it's going to be sprinkled. So for a carbon chatas, you have application. But when it comes to other carbonas, sometimes it's poured and sometimes it's sprinkled. So by the carbon pesach is done with shficha. You do a pouring of the carbon pesach. It's based on drushes that we did early in the masechta. Now, the chagigas yidalin, so that's a standard shlamim, so therefore you're going to do it with a zrika. So now the Gemara says like this, and again, let's start with Rabbi Kiva, because it's easier just to follow through. So according to Rabbi Kiva, if the Torah is insistent on Shvicha, you can't do Zrika. And if the Torah is insistent on Zrika, you can't do Shvicha. And so basically Rabbi Kiva says because the blood applications of the Chagigas Yedalin and the Karm Pesach are done in different methods, once with the sprinkling and the other is with a pouring, so therefore, they become mutually exclusive. That's why, according to Rabbi Kiva, the bracha of one can provide no coverage for the consumption of the other. Because the avodas are done in manners which are mutually exclusive. That shita is Rabbi Kiva. Masha Enkein, according to the shita of Rabbi Shmuel, so zrika is bechlal shvicha. So that the zrika can be, is incorporated, is included in shvicha, but shvicha is not incorporated within zrika. Meaning the manner in which I do the avoda for the Karm Pesach, which is shvicha, it has to be shvicha and not zrika. On the other hand, the manner in which I do the blood application for the chagigas yidal is zrika, but you could also do shvicha as well. And that's why the bracha of one can provide coverage for the other. Specifically, according to Rabbi Shmuel, the bracha of the Karm Pesach can also cover your chagigas yidal, based on the fact that the avoda of one is subsumed within the other. Okay, definitely a technical point, but the Gemara over here is just trying to give voice to understanding a little bit better the machlokas between Rabbi Kiva and Rabbi Shmuel of our Mishnah. The Gemara on the Amud Beis, unusual Amud Beis, there is a Rashbam on the bottom. The Rashbam over here is just simply bothered by a really simple question. We're going to be talking about brachas over that are done over the pigeon aben. Brachas that are done over the pigeon aben. What? How are we here? How is this last Gemara in Pesachim? So the Rashbam on the bottom points out, look, we just got done making two brachas, right? On the discussion, on the heels of the discussion of making a double bracha, one for the Birchas HaZevach, the other for the Karm Pesach. So Mishum, it's the only Rashbam on the summit. Mishum de'ari masisim b'shnei minei brachos ba'adam echad u'maisa echad atalu yizeh b'zeh kigon Pesach v'zevach shechagiga ba'im ha'Pesach. So, since we were talking about two brachas in the previous sugya, so we're also going to be talking about two brachas over here as well. That's the Rashbam's explanation of the contiguous nature of the previous Gemara and our Gemara right over here. Rabbi Simlai Iklal Pidgin Aben. So Rabbi Simlai goes to a Pidgin Aben. After 30 days old, a firstborn baby needs to be redeemed. Mitzvah Min HaTorah, introduced to us actually at the end of Parshas Bo. So Ba'amine Pshita Al Pidgin Aben Asher Kishan Mitzvah Sivano Al Pidgin Aben. So Avi HaBen Mevarech. So he says, look, I think I got the basics figured out. For the bracha of Al Pidgin Aben, so who's the mitzvah upon? So the mitzvah is on the father. The Gemara in Kiddushin, the Mishnah in Kiddushin, on Chav Tes tells us that there are certain mitzvahs that the father is obligated to do for the son. And of course, the first one is Bris Milah, and the second one is Pidgin Aben. So that's a bracha on the father. So since the mitzvah is on the father, the bracha is going to be said by the father. And Baruch Shechianu V'kiyamanu V'yigenu L'zman Hazeh, Kohen Mevarech. O Avi HaBen Mevarech. But the bracha of Shechianu, meaning here we are now doing a mitzvah that we have that is done on a very rare occasion. So we have an opportunity to make a Shechianu. And so who's going to be making the bracha of Shechianu? Here are your two candidates. It's either going to be the Kohen who's going to be receiving the money, or it's going and really facilitating the pigeon, or it's going to be the father. So the Gemara says, look, I can argue in both ways. Kohen Mevarech, Dekamati Hanali Adeh. On one hand, the Kohen's going to make the bracha because what's the Kohen getting out of the deal? He's getting money. So he's really happy. So the Shechianu is said out of joy. And the one right now who's experiencing the most joy is the Kohen. He just received 5 shkalim. O Aviyah ben Mevarech Dekavid Mitzvah. On the other hand, there's a certain joy that goes to the Aviyah ben as well. He's the one performing the mitzvah. The Kohen is facilitating the mitzvah to be done, but the actual mitzvah itself is done by the Kohen. I'm sorry, the actual mitzvah itself is done by the Aviyah ben. So maybe he should be making a Shechianu. So lo havi biyadei. So unclear. The bracha of Al Pidgin Aben, clear. The bracha of Shechianu, unclear. Also shal be midrasha. So they go to the base measures. They ask in the base measures. Amarle Aviyah ben mevarech shaim v'yichus Aviyah ben mevarech shaim. So the Gemara is poshet. The Gemara says that the father is going to be making both the bracha of Al Pidgin Aben and the bracha also of Shechianu. Nowhere in Shas does the Gemara talk about a Shechianu made at the Bris Milah. So the arguments are pretty strong that you should be making a bracha of Shechianu on a Bris Milah. Meaning, what's the criteria for making a Shechianu? It's very simple. You have a mitzvah that you're doing that you have not done in some time, and when it comes to a Bris Milah, right? Even if the couple are pretty consistent about having children, but still, we're talking about once a year. Whatever the case is, it's a mitzvah that's done not that often, not that frequent. And just like we learned regarding the Pidgin Aben, you're going to be making a Shechianu. So a strong argument can be made that you should be making a Shechianu on a Bris Milah as well. However, right, for those of you who attend Ashkenazic Brisim, so you know that the Minhag Ashkenaz is not to make a Shechianu at a Bris Milah, at least Ashkenazim here in America, in Chutz Aretz, who did not make a Shechianu Bris Milah. So why should that be the case? It is a mitzvah that's mizman lezman. That's really on occasion. So the Gemara never discusses this, but the Rishonim already pick up on arguments that one can make in terms of why you shouldn't make a Shechianu by a Bris Milah. The most popular argument that's provided by the Rishonim is Tzar D'Yanuka. Because yes, it's a mitzvah, but it's a mitzvah also that has pain involved in it. And so because of the Tzar D'Yanuka, the pain that's experienced by the baby, So therefore, we shouldn't express our full joy and we shouldn't be saying Shechianu. That's some of the arguments that's one of the arguments that's made. There are a couple of other arguments that are made as well. Anyway, just interesting that the Gemara over here speaks very clearly about making a Shechianu, by the Pidgin Aben. Let's quickly recap our daf today. A big mazel tov, to everybody who finished and was Mesayim, Mesechet Pesachim. It's a really big deal. So it's a long Mesechta. In terms of timing, it couldn't come out any better. A big yeshar koach to everybody. Everybody conclude the Masechta. Let's quickly recap our day today. We went over the machlokes between Rav Elazar ben Azariah and Rabbi Akiva. In terms of at what point in the night do you have to stop eating Karban Pesach, Rav Elazar ben Azariah says Chatzos, and Rabbi Akiva says that you have the entire evening to eat Karban Pesach. Rav says, and we went through the sourcing of the two positions. Rav says that Bizman Azeh, where we're eating matzah at the end, and the matzah at the end is Zecher l'Karban Pesach, So if I subscribe to Rav Elazar ben Azariah, so then the matzah tzafi kamen has to be eaten, has to be consumed by chatzos, by halachic midnight, which, by the way, now that the clocks have changed here, so it's particularly late, meaning it's going to be well after 1 o'clock in the morning. But you have you have to eat it by halachic midnight. That's the that's Rava's understanding of if I follow like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. As we pointed out, the Gemara is not poshet, which of the positions is accepted la halacha, and normally we do follow like Rabbi Kiva over Chavero, but on the other hand, we have a Stam Mishnah over here that follows like Rav Elazar ben Azariah. Our second issue today is the second part of the Mishnah from yesterday's daf. Pigel, Noser, and Tame. Pigel and Noser are Mitame Esay Adayim, that the Chachamim slapped a Tumah Derabanan on these Psule Mukdashim, on these disqualifications that occurred to a Karban. And why did the Chachamim do that? So that's what we learned. We learned it earlier in the Masechta. We learned it again in today's daf because of Chashdei Kehuna, Atzlei Kehuna. Kohanim that we suspect, they want to disqualify other people's karbanos. They want to be mefagel other people's karbanos, or because they're just simply not going to take care of ensuring that they eat the karban. That's the atzlei kahuna. And so for those two reasons, the chachamim slapped a tumah derabanan. What's the shear? How much karban do you need in order for the tumah to kick in? So it's a machlokas whether it's going to be a kazayis or it's going to be a kebetza. Okay, the last mission that we did today in Kuf Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph, mentioned the halachas of bracha. So if I make a bracha on the Karban Pesach, eating of the Karban Pesach is a mitzvah, so is that going to also cover the Chagigas Yidal as well? Machlokas Atanayim. Rabbi Yishmael says that the bracha on Karban Pesach is going to cover the Chagigas Yidalin, and Rabbi Akiva says no, the two brachas remain independent one of the other. You have to make one bracha on the Chagigas Yidalin, a separate bracha on the Karban Pesach. So why should that be? So the Gemara's explanation, really succinct, is that it's really a function of the matan damim, the way that the blood is applied of these two karbanos onto the mizbeach. Karban Pesach is b'shvicha, and the chagigas yadal is b'zrika, and mutually exclusive one from the other. According to Rabbi Akiva. And that's why the brachas also have to be mutually exclusive one from the other. And on the other hand, according to Rabbi Yishmael, so the way that you are doing the Chagigas Yidalit could be done in the manner in which you do the Karban Pesach, and therefore, that's why the Chagigas Yidalit can be subsumed in the bracha of the Karban Pesach. But the opposite's not true. Okay, and our last discussion of today, as long as we were talking about the double bracha that we make, so the Gemara gave another example of a double bracha, notably by the Pidgin HaBen. There are two brachas to make at the Pidgin HaBen. One is the Al Pidgin HaBen, and the other one is the Shechianu. And now the question becomes, can those two brachas get split up? We know the Avi HaBen is going to be making the bracha of the Pidgin HaBen. Who is going to be making the bracha of Shechianu? Is it going to be the Avi HaBen, or is it going to be the Kohen? And the Gemara's resolution is that it's going to be the Avi HaBen, because he's the one performing the mitzvah.